Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Mears. Mr. Grab?
Thank you. Commission will recall that at the September commission meeting, you asked the commissioner to convey to the Secretary of Natural Resources or to solicit his input, if you will, on what he, his offer to provide some suggestions on what he considered to be, you know, unique circumstances. And we're talking about in relation to the conveyance of properties that have been previously filled or state-owned submerged lands and for which the General Assembly has granted approval through an act of assembly. Secretary Bryant did provide to the commission by letter dated October 9, 2008, some suggestions. And basically, I just wanted to quickly, you know, go over those and highlight them. You have four or five conveyances that are still pending that will be coming before the commission at some point. And the code sections that I'll be referring to are actually on page 149 and 150 of your code books. In essence, Secretary Bryant makes seven suggestions as to what the commission could consider in determining what constitutes unique circumstances. The first is that you might want to consider only properties that were filled prior to 1960. In essence, or to begin with, the commission will only be considering conveyances that have been approved through an act of assembly for which the General Assembly and the governor have signed it. And the Commonwealth, by virtue of 28.2.1200.1, can only convey lands that were lawfully filled. Now, the code section that was enacted determines lawfully filled, meaning that it was authorized by statute, by court order, or pursuant to a commission permit, which you're basically familiar with, or under what they determine apparent color of authority. And they go on to define apparent color of authority as being those lands that were filled prior to July 1st, 1960. So in essence, that's exactly what you'll be considering unless the commission had granted a permit in the intervening period and someone was actually coming back now to seek, you know, a greater fee interest in that submerged land for which they have a compensable right. The second suggestion is that there be no evidence that the current owner engaged in any unauthorized filling. Well, again, since the Commonwealth can only convey lawfully filled lands, that seems to be, you know, somewhat moot. The third is that the commission should consider the length of time that the party appearing before the commission has had an ownership interest in the property. And the rationale there, obviously, is that the longer the period of ownership, the more likely that the individual had been or might have been unaware of the Commonwealth's underlying interest in those lawfully filled lands. The fourth is that the commission should have sufficient information to know the circumstances through which the beneficial owner acquired the property. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not quite sure I fully understand that. Mr. Cumming is here, and the attorney has been dealing with one of the potential conveyances, but as I understand it, this apparently is a suggestion so as not to penalize ownership transfers that are related to trusts or estate planning and things of this nature, and I don't think that was the intent when the legislature enacted it. The fifth is to consider whether any governmental entity, and by that I guess we're talking local, state, or federal, may have played a role in the filling of the Sebaquis lands. And I've tried to think of potential examples, and the only ones that come readily to mind might be where there's a municipal landfill that had been created or a dredge material disposal site for which the locality has turned it over for developmental purposes to a private party. You know, obviously, the locality can only give that individual the rights that they had. It would be a compensable right in the field that was placed. They'd have to get a General Assembly to grant the underlying fee, and we certainly wouldn't want to penalize someone who was seeking legitimization of something that the locality, state, or federal government had, in fact, you know, created. The sixth is that the commission might want to consider the chain of title that purports to convey through meets and bounds the Sebaquis property in question. And I think it's important to remember here that the mere act of recording a plat is not sufficient to establish or perfect a claim to the property of the Commonwealth. Section 28.2.1202, which is on 150, clearly states that private property extends only to the mean level watermark and no further, unless that ownership can be traced back to a lawful survey, which in itself is tied with special grant or compact. Keeping in mind that under English common law, private property extended only to the mean high water mark in tidal waters, but the Virginia legislature, through the Boundary Act of 1819, extended that private property ownership down to the mean low water mark. Section 62-1 of the Virginia Code of 1873 actually reinstated the prohibition against granting the beds and shores if they had not been previously conveyed, but removed a 1792 requirement that they had been used as a common. And that section, coincidentally, is basically or virtually identical to the one that you see today in 28.2-1200. So you'd really have to get a survey to go beyond those areas to legitimately argue that the meets and bounds actually meant something. Seventh, and finally, the Secretary suggests that should the Commission determine that unique circumstances exist by virtue of the previous six considerations, that the commensurate reduction be no more than 50% of the assessed value of the specified parcel, and that's exclusive of any improvements or buildings. He also suggests that any reduction be scalable and reflect the extent to which the Commission can determine the circumstances are unique. I guess this means that the maximum reduction that the Commission could grant would be 12.5% of the assessed value of the specified parcel, as opposed to the 25% set forth in code. And just to put it in perspective, I guess if one took the 48 years between 1960 and today and made a linear relationship, that reduction would equate to 0.26% per year to get from 25% down to 12.5%. Now, obviously, it's not strictly a linear relationship, and one would have to consider, you know, where in that period all the other factors, you know, come into play. But that's what a strictly linear relationship would be based on his suggestion. And finally, it's just a reminder that, and he acknowledges that any determination that the Commission would make on the individual conveyances and or the unique circumstances that apply must be justified in writing by the Commission as a condition of the approval, but that in and of itself is not subject to judicial review. And as I said, the Commission will in the next couple of months probably be considering, you know, some additional conveyances. The last one that you had, I guess Mr. Nolan had presented, was the December partnership. And Council, I don't know whether you had any other questions or anything to add.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I didn't know that if you had anything else to add.
Bob, the one question I've got is, now that we've received this, if we do apply it, does it have to be published as a guidance document pursuant to the other guidance documents that we have to?
I would say no, because each
individual, it's not mandated.
Correct.
Okay.
And basically, it's the code. The code already authorized sets 25%, and the code already specifies that the Commission may back off from that. What you really have from the Secretary is his thought processes as to
what
might constitute unique circumstances, but that's totally within the Commission's jurisdiction.
And he reiterates that as well.
Yes, and it is not appealable. I mean, you make that decision, that's not something that goes to circuit court. You know, the conveyor is the state. The conveyee either accepts that or decides not to execute the conveyance that was authorized by the General Assembly.
And for the record, he was very, very specific in saying that those were his ideas and they were not intended to supplant
the
wisdom of the Commonwealth.
The ultimate decision was the Commission.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, Bob. Next item on the agenda.